Alfred Hitchcock was an undisputed master of the cinema whose films often revolved around beautiful and coolly confident blondes. Hitchcock films also frequently dealt with various neuroses and psychologically damaged characters. A recent HBO film, The Girl, dramatizes the increasingly obsessive nature of Hitchcock's relationship with one particular actress, Tippi Hedren. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Tippi Hedren's film debut was in one of Alfred Hitchcock's late masterpieces, The Birds, and Miss Hedren was a guest of the Plaza Classic Film Festival this year. The following conversation took place on the stage of the Plaza Theater before a sold-out screening of The Birds on August 10th, 2012.
Did you have any idea that 50 years on, this film would be packing them in? I mean, they're literally to the rafters tonight.
I see that. When a Hitchcock film comes out, you kind of know that it's going to be a hit. People are going to go see it. They love to be scared. So you kind of have a feeling that it's going to be a success. But The Birds, I think more than any film in the world, has a life of its own. It just goes on and on. I mean, it's stunning. It really is amazing. I can't even begin to tell you how many times a year we celebrate The Birds and scare everybody, which is always great fun.
Well, when you first met Alfred Hitchcock, it was to be put under contract, and you had no idea that this was what he had in mind, did you?
No, I didn't. I had been a fashion model with Eileen Ford in New York for 11 years, and that was in the 50s when the television came into everybody's homes, and everybody was sitting at home watching the little black box, and those little television sets were like, you know, the screens are like that. And I remember all of that. You don't, but I do.
I've seen pictures.
You've seen pictures. So, but along with that came the television commercial. And, of course, being a model, I was lucky enough to become involved with the commercials. And it was so financially successful that I took 6 months off and went around the world once.
Amazing.
Yeah. Is that good?
So Hitchcock, at some point, Hitchcock saw you in a commercial and tracked you down.
He did. He saw this commercial that was a pet milk product called Seago. It was a diet drink. I think I weighed all of 100 pounds when I did the commercial. But it was a storyline. I get out of my car and I walk down the street and a little boy whistles at me. And it was just fun, cute. And it was at a time when my daughter, Melanie Griffith, yeah, who is married to Antonio Banderas. Whoa, that gets him.
So you're put under personal contract with Hitchcock, and
okay.
I guess you thought maybe TV show, since he was doing so many television shows?
I just quickly have to tell this story, because I wanted my daughter to have a little bit of independence, so we packed up the dog and the kitty and the bunny, and we all moved back to Los Angeles. And I thought my career would go on as it had in New York, and it wasn't, and I'm thinking, what do I do now? I don't type. And on Friday the 13th of October, I received a call from Universal Studios asking if I was the girl in the commercial, the Seago commercial. And I said yes. And he said, well, the producer is interested. And I said, who? And he said, well, come over and meet with us and, you know, we'll talk about it. Well, 4 days later, they still hadn't told me. And finally, they asked me to go to MCA, which was the largest agency. And it was then that Hitch's agent, Herman Citrin, said, Alfred Hitchcock wants to sign you to a contract. And my eyes got big. And he said, here's the contract. Read it. If you agree with the terms, and sign it, we'll go over and meet him. Yeah. And you know what my first thought was? I'll be able to take care of my daughter. You know?
Fantastic. Yeah. So then Hitchcock put you through all sorts of readings. And did you have any thought about, you know, they were screen testing you, they had actors coming in to run lines with you from old Hitchcock films?
Well, yeah.
And were you being, felt like you were being groomed for something, or did he was just testing you to see what you could do?
In fact, I knew that they were working on The Birds. Evan Hunter was there. They were both sequestered, writing and writing and writing. Then they decided to do a screen test. And so I thought, this is normal. But it was 3 days, and Bob Birks, the DP that he always used, and his whole film crew, Edith Head designed my clothes. I mean, it was a little more than a screen test. It took 3 days. We did scenes from Rebecca, Notorious, and Catch a Thief, three entirely different women. And then we did extemporaneous scenes, and Martin Balsam was flown out to be my leading man. All those actors in Hollywood, and he flew some, you know, whatever, you know. Anyway, after this, the test was assembled, and I guess everybody who was important in that kind of an issue saw it, they invited me to dinner at Chasen's restaurant. Did you ever go to Chasen's?
Yes, once.
Yeah, it was fabulous, wasn't it?
And I'm looking at that sparkly thing on your shoulder there.
Yeah, okay, it's coming. So anyway, we're sitting at dinner, and Alma is sitting on one side of Hitchcock, and I was sitting, I was in the corner, you know, and Lou Wasserman, who was head of Universal at that time, came and joined us, and Hitch placed this beautifully wrapped package in front of me from Gubbs in San Francisco, and I opened it, and it was this pin. Can y'all see it?
It's three beautiful birds.
Yeah, with seed pearls, gold and seed pearls of three birds in flight. And I looked at the pin, and he said, "We want you to play Melanie Daniels in The Birds." Well, I was so stunned because I had never, all the commercials, yes, they gave me a great technical background, but certainly not as an actress. And it never occurred to me that I would even be considered for this role. And I got big tears in my eyes, and I looked over at Mrs. Hitchcock, and she had tears in her eyes. And I looked over at Lou Wasserman. He did have one tear.
Perhaps the only tear he ever had in life.
Ever. And, you know, it was just such an extraordinary night. I mean, this pin means a lot to me. I mean, it was literally life-changing.
This is one of those best of times, worst of times things.
Yes.
I'm guessing most people know the film and the extreme menace that you go through. Before we get to the birds, the actual birds, I wanted to ask you, you know, most Hitchcock films, when you read about them, the actors generally say that they never got direction from Hitchcock other than what to wear, maybe the external image that they were to project. This was your very first film, feature film. You're the leading lady. Did Hitchcock ever work with you on motivation or, you know, direction, that what we would call direction, not just what you should look like?
Yes, he did. Matter of fact, he and Alma, his wife, both became my drama coaches, and it was basically all done through conversation, where we would talk about a particular scene, a particular character. It was explained to me how you break down a script. How do you get into developing a character? How do you work out the relationships of the different characters in the film? And the education that he gave me was incredibly valuable, and to this day I use all of those tools that he gave me. But on the set there was very, very little instruction. He would very often tell me to lower my voice.
I think that was a favorite of his, to tell leading
everybody
ladies
to lower their voice. I guess he thought that was very sexy. I suppose.
Still is, I think.
Women with low voices. There you go.
So, you know, you were the quintessential cool blonde Hitchcock woman, but you were the most assertive Hitchcock woman I think the screen had ever seen at that point. Did he talk to you about how you were to project yourself, that you're a pursuer in this film? You're after Rod Taylor.
Yeah. I think I got him, too. They'll have to do a sequel and find out. And they're thinking about that, too. I was very fortunate in being able to play very strong women. You know, that was, that's always fun to play somebody strong and willful and determined and not afraid.
I think you have a streak of that in you also.
Oh, you think dealing with lions and tigers yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the birds, because you have so many scenes in which you're being attacked in this film. Yeah. I don't think there's another woman by 1963 that had gone through as much trauma as you making a film. You're in phone booths, you're in attics, you've got birds constantly coming at you. Was there a plan at some point that these were going to be just fake birds and then it just kind of went out the window? Or do you think they always plan to throw real live birds at you?
Well, you know, when I read the script, I had questions about it. Even though I was a novice, I wasn't stupid. And so I said, Mr. Hitchcock, with some of these scenes with the birds, and especially at the ending of the film where she walks up those stairs, and first of all, why does she do that all by herself? And you know what he said? He thought for a moment, and he said, because I tell you to. Okay, fine. And I said, after I open that door and I see all of these raven and gull and all coming at me, how is that going to be done? And he said, oh, well, we're going to use the mechanical birds like we do with the children. I'm fine. I never thought about it again until the day we were to start that scene. And I was in my dressing room on the set, and I had a raven, a pet raven, who we adopted each other. He was so sweet, the bird trainer, Ray Berwick, wouldn't teach him all those bad things, so he couldn't be in the movie. So he'd hang out with me and play with my makeup, and then he'd sit on my shoulder, and then he'd sit on my head, and, you know, we were just buddies. His name was Buddy. So anyway, I'm in my dressing room, and the first AD came in, and he couldn't look at me. He looked at the floor and the walls and the ceiling, and I said, what's the matter with you, Jim? And he said, the mechanical birds don't work. We have to use real ones. And out the door he sailed.
You've been listening to part one of my conversation with actress Tippi Hedren, recorded live on the stage of the Plaza Theater on August 10th, 2012, before a sold-out screening of The Birds. While Ms. Hedren enjoyed one of the greatest film debuts in all of cinema, she had to manage the increasingly obvious advances of one of the cinema's greatest directors. There's more birds to come. Tune in next week for the second half of my conversation with actress Tippi Hedren. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.